Our verse for the month is a verse of praise. It comes to us from the book of Psalms, and particularly from the 34th chapter in the first verse. And it is an aspirational psalm that reminds us that whatever we do, wherever we are, we ought to be bringing praise to God in the midst of us. As we always do, let's say this wonderful verse for the month together. If you have not yet picked up the card that has the verse for the month on it, it's in the seat back in front of you. Feel free to stick that in your Bible or take it home with you. And let's say this, starting with the address. We'll say the verse. We'll finish with the address. Say the verse with me, please. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. And I thank you for reading that with us today together. Well, next week we are going to conclude our Solus series with our last part of Soli Deo Gloria. And I'm hoping that you will all be here. It's going to be a very special time. We're actually going to reach back into the old hymn book, and we're going to sing a lot of the songs of the faith that speak about the glory of God. I don't know how long it's been since you sang, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." We're going to sing that next Sunday. Next Sunday we'll sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Next Sunday we'll sing, "A mighty fortress is our God." And in the singing, we will also be blessed with, we're bringing back the brass choir. Seemed like a good thing to do as we close out the Solus series. And I pray that you will all be with us, and that it will be a great and beneficial Sunday, as I pray this series has been. This Sunday, however, we wanted to take a break and just get ourselves ready for the leaving of the dear Stuckies tomorrow morning. They'll be with us in between service today. I gave them a couple of days that I just asked them to take a couple of days together, and so we sent them out to the beach, and they've spent the last 2 days together before they go back and hit things running again. And so they'll be here in between services. Make sure you say goodbye to them. But I wanted to be prepared, us to be prepared for them leaving, and just to remind ourselves of the importance of being a part of our missionary's life. And so I've entitled our message today, "The Gift Every Missionary Needs." The Stuckies have had a wonderful time here. They've picked up two new churches, and we're so grateful for that. They've traveled around the United States and have met with supporters and talked with people and shared the good ministry that they are involved in, and it really is a powerful and a wonderful ministry. They've made a number of new contacts. They've been treated so well by this congregation, and just as your pastor, I just need you to know that it just does my heart so good when I see that you just reach out and meet needs and serve people, and you have served them so well over the last few months, and it's been a great blessing to them, I know. And even if you don't personally know them, you've been a blessing to them just by the giving and the Sunday offering, because every Sunday a good portion of our offering goes to our missionaries. So it's been a great time, and I really thank you for being a part of that and for really ministering well to them. And all these gifts that we've given, the gifts of cars and the gifts for ministry while they were here, a gift of housing and beds to rest in, and food and diapers for the baby, and money to help them get from place to place. Those are all important things, and we are so, so thankful for them. But I want to remind us this morning, I want to talk about the most important gift that we can give to the Stuckies and really to any and all of our missionaries, and that, of course, is the gift of prayer. Now, I'm sure that doesn't come as any surprise to you, because every time one of our missionaries comes and stands in front of us, that's the first thing they ask for, and usually that's the very last thing that they ask for. As they send out their monthly prayer lists, they realize that all they are and all they will accomplish for our sovereign God in sometimes very difficult places, the most important thing, the foundation for everything that they will accomplish is the prayers of God's people. I want to encourage us that we become better at praying for our missionaries. Today also in your bulletins, and we'll look at it at the very end, you'll find this little card just so that we don't forget. It has all of our foreign missionaries on the back and on the front. It just has five different ways that we can be praying for our missionaries. And I just want to encourage us to be a people of prayer for our missionaries. And so since I'm encouraging us to be that, I want to remind us from Scripture again how it is that we can be the most effective prayer people for our missionaries. We meet once a month in our Missions Council meeting, and I love meeting in our Missions Council meeting, and it's such a great group of people because they just love our missionaries greatly. But my favorite time of that missionary council meeting is when we pause at the end of our meeting and we go around the entire mission team and we pray specifically for the needs of our missionaries. And I know it's so important, and I know as the Stuckey sat in that council meeting last Sunday, they were just so encouraged by the fact that we were going through and we are praying well for them and for others. But the problem is sometimes that we're here and our missionaries are way over there in a culture that is kind of alien to us. And sometimes it's hard for us to get a sense of all that prayer is accomplishing, which is why we have these mission moments, which is why we ask our missionaries to come frequently and speak to us. Next month, the Malachars will be with us briefly. In June, the Zellers will be with us briefly. And one of the most important things that we can do is reach out to the world through these missionaries. And so this morning, I'm hoping that we can really just key in once again, be reminded of the importance of praying for our missionaries. Here's two things I want us to think about as we begin this morning. There is no doubt that prayer is the most valuable resource any missionary can have. If I had a room full of missionaries who had been on the room, been out in the field for 5 or 10 years, and I asked them if this was a true statement, 100% of them would say, that is the most important thing that we have. The most valuable resource any missionary can have is prayer. We can't travel there. We will probably, many of us, will never see the locations where they serve, but we can, on an ongoing basis, day by day, pray for our missionaries. A corollary to that, or maybe even just another way of saying it, is the greatest impact any of us can ever have throughout the world is to saturate our missionaries and their ministries with unceasing prayer. I'm asking this morning that you would just covenant within your family, that you would just be a person and a family of prayer on an ongoing basis for our dear missionaries. So this morning, I want to just go to Scripture and I want us to look at three simple but really powerful prayer principles that will encourage us to pray more effectively for our missionaries. They are in your notes. Mostly it's filled out. There's just a few things to fill out. If you don't normally fill things out, I would just ask that you would this morning, just so that you could be reminded of, I have something very important to do in my missionary's life, and that is to be a person of prayer for them. And these are three ways that I will be more effective in my prayer for them. Let's look at the first point, and while we're looking there, let's turn to the book of Acts and to chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. I'd like to turn to Acts 13, verse 1. We're just going to look at a few verses there, but the first principle I want us to understand, that prayer principle number one, is that we ought to be people who are praying purposefully. Now, by purposely, we are simply saying that we are praying based on what the missionaries ask us, based on what we know is necessary. We are praying with a very strong purpose in their lives. When I say we need to pray purposefully, what I'm not saying is that we should just get together and say, well, God bless so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. What I am asking is that we pray specifically for specific needs that have been given to us. Which is why, after our missions council missions moment this morning, every community group will receive those prayer requests, and we're going to ask that you pray for those purposefully and specifically all month long. We see that this whole idea of missions is begun with a time of prayer, and that basically serves as our model or as our foundation for the sending of our missionaries. In Acts chapter 13, we see this lovely church in Antioch. What had happened is the mother church in Jerusalem was being persecuted, and as they were being persecuted, various believers went to different places. Some went to Cyprus, some went to Cyrene, some went up to Antioch. And those who went up to Antioch were very bold. They began to reach out not only to the Jews, but they also began to reach out to Gentiles and particularly to the Greeks that were part of that wonderful seaport town. Things began to go so incredibly well in terms of people coming to faith that the apostles in Jerusalem took a look at this and they sent Barnabas up to see exactly what was taking place. He went up and he saw what was taking place, and he said, what these people need is a man of the word. They need a person who's going to come in and preach. So he says, hold on, and I'm going to go get somebody who's going to be able to minister to you. He brought in the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul probably spent a year and a half, almost 2 years, in Antioch with Barnabas, teaching and helping them understand what they should do. Now, we see that as we go to chapter 13, that God is about to do an amazing thing. He is about to spread out the gospel to the world, and he's going to use Antioch as the base for the setting of where they are headed. And so in chapter 13, verse 1, there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers. Barnabas was there. Simeon was there. Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, whose name is also Paul. Now we see in verse 2 that while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now I want us to note carefully the first thing that the elders did in that setting. When they had fasted, and basically it's setting aside time to think and meditate and wonder what it is exactly that God wants them to do, and also during that time, a time of prayer for them and for the ministry that was to come, then they laid hands on them and sent them on their way. That is, whenever we send out missionaries for the first time, that is why with Thomas and the same thing with Mark and Jess, that when we sent them on their way for the first time, we brought them forward, we laid hands on them, and we prayed for the ministry that was before them. So we see as we began that very first great missions emphasis of the first century church, that it was all bathed in, surrounded by, founded on the importance of purposeful prayer. Now, the Holy Spirit did not see fit to share with us in this third verse exactly what the elders were praying about, but it should be pretty clear for us to understand. They prayed for safety. They prayed for the ability for them to really be able to minister the word, I'm sure. They prayed for support for them wherever they went. They prayed for a number of things, but the most important thing we're learning here is that they built that entire sending around the importance of prayer. I have no doubt that during the entire time that they were away from this Antioch church, their sending church, that church was deeply committed and involved in prayer for them on an ongoing basis. I find it very interesting that when Paul finished with any of his missionary journeys, the very first place he tried to go back to was always Antioch. And the whole idea there was, these are the church that sent me. This is the church that prayed for me. I can't wait to share with them what God has done on this first and then the second and then his third missionary journey as well. And it was something that Paul learned from this purposefulness that he should set up in the churches that he established. So everywhere he went, and whenever he set up a church, whenever he would write to them, he would write to them specific prayer requests. And there are so many that I couldn't list them all out, but I just want to share a few of Paul's very purposeful prayers that he shared with various churches. To Rome, he says to them in the 15th chapter, join in helping through your prayers. I mean, how much more powerful could that be? He says, I know that you can't help me in a lot of ways, but one thing and the most important way that you can help me through your prayers. To the church at Ephesus, he said, I would ask that you would pray for me, that I would have utterance and that I would have boldness for ministry. He asked the people in Colossae to pray in the same way for utterance and for boldness. In Philippi, up the place where he had originally been imprisoned, when we read about the Philippian jailer, he says, I would ask that you would pray for deliverance and a deliverance in a variety of things. To the people in Thessalonica, who he had only been with maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then just really encouraged them to spread that message. And he said, would you be praying about that? Would you pray for the word to be spread? And it was really, really a powerful prayer, because indeed, that is exactly what happened. By the time he began to hear about what was taking place in Thessalonica, he says, I don't even have to go out and share anymore, because you have done that. Everywhere I go, they have already learned about Jesus in this region because you set your tone on going out and sharing the gospel with others. So we need to be just as purposeful in our prayers for our missionary. We need to pray more than just the generic. We need to know what it is we can be praying about. We need to have specific categories that we can be praying about. And we need to lift that up on an ongoing and a regular basis. My suggestion to you is, if you're in the habit of family devotions, which is a very good habit to have, especially when your kids are young, that you take one of our missionaries for each evening, and you just share a prayer request and have your kids pray for them at that point in time. It establishes a bond. It establishes an understanding of the importance of what we are trying to do. If you are a person who just on a day-by-day basis just opens up God's Word and spends some time in it, may I just suggest that you go through a cycle every day of praying for at least one of our missionaries, and that you be praying in a very purposeful way for them. You will never know until eternity the great things that happen when we pray for our missionaries. Here's the second thing I want us to think about this morning when we think of a prayer principle. The second thing I want us to think about is that we need to pray rebelliously. We need to pray rebelliously. Often in the cases of in parables, Jesus front loads the purpose of the parable. And in a particular parable, he was trying to teach the disciples the importance of praying and praying rebelliously. That's found in Luke chapter 18, and let's take a look at that. It's just 8 verses. It's very powerful. It's very, very helpful to us. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now, he was telling them a parable, and the purpose of that parable was to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart. Here's an interesting little parable, then he tells. There was a certain city. There was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she is going to wear me out. And so this is an interesting parable because it has nothing to do with how God hears our prayers. He doesn't answer our prayers just because he's tired of us praying. He doesn't answer our prayer because they're a bother to us. He gives us an illustration because he takes it to the far edge of what can happen when we pray. And then he brings us back to the Lord and he says, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will bring about justice for them quickly. When the Son of Man comes, though, will he find faith upon the earth? This judge was not just, wasn't a just judge. He didn't care at all about her situation, but the woman wouldn't give up. She rebelled against the status quo. She continued to bring the situation before this dishonest judge. And finally, just to get her off his back, he makes this judgment. Now, if justice can be brought about through a dishonest judge, think about how rightly it can be brought about by the one who loves us and cares for his servants and willingly listens to all of our needs. Praying rebelliously simply means this. It means we refuse to accept as normal the pervasive abnormality of this world. Let me just share with you the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and let me ask you if you don't think it's just a little bit rebellious. So it starts off, we all know it well, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. Then look at the next thing that he instructs us to pray about. He says you should pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dear ones, that is definitely a rebellious prayer. It says, I rebel against everything in Satan's world system. I rebel against the way things are being done on earth. I pray that you would make things right. I pray that your kingdom would come and all on earth would be brought into proper focus with you. In the meantime, I pray that you will minister and help in the midst of circumstances that I find myself in today. Let me just share with you a few things that our missionaries are going through right now that are a big deal. One of our missionaries in Dubai is being told by the ruling authorities that they don't like the fact that the churches are in different parts of the city. And they said, you have until the end of April to move out of that facility, a place where some 600 believers are gathering on a regular basis and where the seminary classes are being taught. And you have to move out of that location by the end of the month. What Eric has asked for us to do is pray that God would find a solution, that we would move in a different direction, that he would meet their need even though the authorities are saying you can't meet here. Just down the road from us, we find that our missionaries at the Bible Tabernacle, after 40 years of service in that facility, are being told to shut down. And our rebellious prayer is, we don't need that facility. We need that ministry to go on. Lord, we ask that you would go beyond what is taking place and that you would provide in a dramatic way so that they can continue on. One of my personal friends who is a missionary in Central Africa just this week was pulled over by a group of men with rifles and clubs That was a scary experience for him. And he was found himself in a place where it is only by the grace of God that they were allowed to pass and safely travel to the conference he was traveling to. He's convinced that the reason he was allowed to pass through because Christians throughout the world were praying against the status quo in Central Africa and saying, God protect and God move him in wonderful, wonderful ways. Another of our missionaries, Thomas Hodzi, has just gone through tremendous problems with health issues in a place where hospitals are not great and where prayer is always needed and where medicines are not always up to what we would expect here in the United States. We pray that even in the midst of that circumstance, that God would heal, that God would bless, that God would minister to their needs. Even as the Stuckeys are returning to Brazil, they'll find themselves dropped into a setting where it will take great awareness to stay balanced and focused and remaining emotionally and spiritually healthy. We pray against the status quo. We pray that they will serve Christ. They will minister well to their family. They will do those necessary things. Finally, we want to consider this idea of praying participatively. This to me is the most important point and one I hope we carry with us today. Praying participatively simply means this. It means that we pray with a willingness to be a part of the solution. So often that's what I find as I pray about situations. So here's the prayer request. I am praying for this person, and so I bring that person before God. And so often I find that when I bring that person before the Lord, the first thing the Lord convicts me of is the importance of me being a help and being an answer to that particular prayer request. And so praying participatively simply means that I'm going to pray for these needs and I'm going to be very, very open to being a part of the answer. This is modeled throughout the New Testament in a very beautiful one. Jesus in Matthew 9:37 instructs his disciples to be people who are praying for the harvest. So here's the disciples. They are praying for the harvest. We move right to the next chapter. We move four verses in and we see that Jesus Christ is saying, you're the answer to that prayer. Now go out and be a part of the harvest. He sends them out two by two. He instructs them exactly where to go, what to do, who not to go to, and how long to stay, and when to come back. And he said, not only have I asked you to pray about it, but I've asked you to be a part of the solution. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, we see that there are these people probably still in that same upper room where the Lord's Supper took place, and they are praying. They are asking God, what is next? What should we do? Where should we go? How should we minister? It's not but a few verses later that they are being used to start this brand new church in Jerusalem. The same in Philippi. We see in Philippians in 1:4, we see this element of they desired greatly to participate in Paul's ministry. And having desired that and having prayed for that, it became clear that they needed to send one of their best, a man by the name of Epaphroditus, to go and minister to Paul, who at that point in time was struggling in chains. So we see this principle go on very commonly, that as we pray, God will show us how to participate. So it certainly is a dangerous thing when you think about it, that when we ask the Lord, how can we help, that he asks us to be a part of it. But it is a wonderful thing when we see that is indeed the case. So prayer, we see then, is designed to wake us to the need to participate in our missionaries' ministry. I was reading this wonderful book on praying missionaries, and this man said this: the more we are in prayer for our missionaries, the more our concerns and actions will be used to answer prayer. See the participative point? No one can pray for the ends of the earth enthusiastically for very long unless they are prepared at the same time to become an important part of the answer themselves. So we need to pray, asking the Lord how we can be a part of the answer. Might be with a financial gift. It might be with just a quick note. It might be just finding some way that we can involve ourselves in their life more fully. Now, with that in mind, I'd like you just to take this sheet out. You have it in your bulletins, and I'd like you just to turn to the front page of it, and I would like you to remind you of five ways that we can pray in these three ways. Five ways we need to be praying for our missionaries. First, we pray for our missionaries to stay focused on God and His plan. It's very important for our missionaries to understand that it is God's work, not their work. That He is the one who gives the harvest. That He is the one who ultimately works it all according to His good will. They need to stay in second place, and they need God always to be in first place. Secondly, our missionaries need prayer for a demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. They need to be walking in the Spirit on a day-by-day basis. It's also important, three, for us to pray for our missionaries that they would be humble and that they would be wise and discerning. There's so much to do, and there's so little time to do it. They need wisdom as to which is the best thing for them to accomplish. We need to pray for unity, that they would have unity in their families and on their missionary teams. And finally, and maybe it should have been the first thing, we need to pray for their marriages. We need to pray that our missionaries have strong and healthy marriages that are an example to the people that we are praying for. So I would ask that you would take this home. We want to pray for all of these people on the list. This is not that we are not praying for those who are local. We're just really concentrating on those who go into the battlefield, as it were, far, far away. I'm going to ask us to really consider the importance of praying on an ongoing basis for our missionary in these three ways. It will be a great encouragement to them. They will accomplish much through our prayers. Let's close in prayer this morning and in a time of prayer even for the Stuckeys. Lord, thank you for your word, which makes it clear how we ought to appreciate and love and minister to our missionaries. We do pray for the Stuckeys as they head back to Brazil tomorrow. I pray for all that goes into getting all those bags and two little kids and all that is necessary for them to get safely to and on that plane. I ask for a very, very long layover in Sao Paulo with those two little ones. I pray that as they touch base and fly back, even with Mark's parents, that it would be a time of encouragement for them. I pray that as they look back on what they have received here, that they would be incredibly encouraged. I pray for that first 2 weeks as they hit the ground that they might take the time to acclimate and rest, to be able to settle into the house that is still being built. I pray for Jess that you would give her grace for that journey. It's a very hard thing to be a missionary's wife in a foreign culture with a language that is still in acquisition phase with two little ones. I pray that you would help her and energize her. I pray that for Mark, that you will teach him how to really love his wife and minister well to her in this time. I pray for the ministries that are going on there, for the churches that have been planted, that they would grow and be nurtured and that they would be healthy, healthy churches. I pray for their health. It's been very hard here that you bring them back to full health. And I pray that you will give them an exciting term in the mission field together. Lord, let us be a church that continues to pray for your people. Let us not forget to pray for one another, but most importantly today, as we see, let us not forget to pray unceasingly for our missionaries. Thanks for our time together this morning. Thanks for good worship. Thanks for gathering for fellowship. bring us back together tonight, excited about listening to some good music, and more than that, just worshiping you in the midst of that music. And may it be a time that brings glory and honor to you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll see y'all at 6 o'clock tonight. Have a great afternoon.